Hey, what it is, y'all?
Boy.
Hey, what's up?
What's up? This
week, Legendary Jerry.
Ready.
We're back. We're back. I am Big Jerry Clark. This is my lovely, lovely co-host, Miss Jamie Page. And as always, the Legendary Jerry Show, we have somebody legendary sent in between us. And look at this gentleman. You know he, you see him, he got the shades on. He got, he just...
A mess already.
But you know what, though? I'm going to say this as we get started. He's he a good dude. He's a solid nigga. I've been knowing him a long time. He's been in this music industry. He's accomplished a lot. He's really put a lot of people on that people don't know. As you know, this is Mr. Myth Hits, a.k.a. Mickey Wright, or Mickey Wright, a.k.a.
Yeah.
Myth Hits. Mr. 901, Mr. Shelby County.
Be
but back before we get started, man. Let me just finish the intro and say,
go ahead, do your thing.
This man right here is very well accomplished in this music industry, in this entertainment industry, and of course, you know, if anybody knows anybody about him, they know this ain't no gossip show. This ain't like the other shows. We talk about music, but at the same time, if you know him, you know he's had some controversial things. But he's here. He still got a great spirit. He got great energy. He's here with me
amazing
and Jamie.
Energy.
He's here with me and Jamie. And he said he wanted to start the show off, Jamie. He said he wanted to clear one thing up that don't have nothing to do with
me.
Not even clear up, but he just wanted to say something.
Threatening me when I was an intern.
No, not that story. what was the story you said you wanted to...
The K. Michelle thing. How you said
guys, we were talking behind the scenes. Okay, let's not make it seem like you came in here with
Jay.
Exactly.
You know, so of course, before we were just, you know, kicking it before we started.
Yes.
And the energy was flowing, the vibe was
very
going.
Good. Yes.
You know, and it just came up.
Exactly.
And you were like, let's roll. Let's talk about it. So let's talk about it.
I want to talk about music.
I'm talking about whatever y'all want to, but if that's the situation, then I don't have, man, I'm so far gone from them situations and at peace with myself. And I know what I have and have not done. I ain't flawless out here. I done some nasty shit out here, you know, but at the same time, I know what I haven't done. So if I can admit to the stuff I have done, then of course I probably.
Well, then that's what's up.
Yeah. I got nothing to hide.
And I said this in the intro, as far as a lot of people don't know, like, your history and you know, you carved a lane, man, before all the, you know, the stuff, whether it was reality TV or some of the other ventures you ventured off into. But musically, like, from, you know, of course the name Memphis, you're from Memphis, but you got a real story, like a real testimony of how you came up in a game that would make anybody cheer for you, bro.
Because you
came up, like, from, you know, and we talked off camera with, you know, shout out to our videographer, Cuddy, but we talked off camera as far as you, you know, you intern, you came, you moved. I mean, tell the story of how you even got in the game.
Oh, yeah.
They just know a lot of people just know the reality show and the things with K. Michelle and Toya, but you're a great music mind and a great music ear.
Thank you,
and
bro.
You've done some things. So how did you, like, coming from Memphis to New York, but give us just that in a Cliff Note version.
I was always talking about moving to New York. I used to watch TV, watch videos, and I'd be like, yo, my mom was like, all you do is watch videos. Like, you need to get your life together. I'm like, I'm looking at my life. That's right there, what you're looking at. That's what I'm going to do for a living.
Mm-hmm.
So I would just be like, I'm going to move to New York. So I'd be going around talking about I'm moving to New York all the time. And it's like, you ain't going nowhere. You're moving to New York. You don't know about New York. You know how scary that place. You're going to go up and get killed. I'm like, what? You been to New York? No. Exactly. So I visited one couple times. I saw it. I liked it. I left. But I left when my dad got killed. So it was like, you know, I had the conversation with him before I left. And I was just like, I think I'm going to New York for real. I'm selling all my stuff. I sold my car. I had a little house. I had a nice little job when I was like 18, whatever, at Sharp, you know, making nice money. Had a Camaro, had my house together. And I was just like, this ain't nothing, bro. I just kept looking at TV and I'm looking at other people. And I'm like, I'm over here like loving. I got a T-top Camaro and a little duplex. And I'm like, that ain't my life.
Yeah.
So I just left. And I was just like, my dad died. And my mom was like, you know, your dad would have wanted you to go. So I think you should. But my dad got killed. And she was like, I think you should just go. Don't worry about your uncles. Because my uncles was going ham on me. Like, you about to leave your mama while all this stuff going on? You little punk. Blah, 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 blah. And I was like, I ain't gonna mistake. And then my mom was like, no, leave. Because I don't even like the conversations you got. I've been hearing you have. Because I was on some shit. I was about to go. I was looking for somebody to have my dad, whatever. Who found out, whatever. So I left, went to New York. Ended up interning at Arista.
So yeah, you came and out and
I kind of mapped out my trip. I was like, I'm gonna go up there and go to school at this school right here.
Because you got the personality and the gift of gab, so you just said, "Hey man, I'm gonna apply." Who brought you in as an intern? Who do you say?
Karen Kwok brought me in as an intern. From IER, the school in New York. And when I got there, I was like, damn, this is a label? Because all I saw was this paperwork, and they was like, make sure you get in the A&R department. So I was like, okay. So I was in the A&R department, but I was an A&R admin. So I was like, where the artists
and paperwork? Yeah.
So he's like, no, that's ninth floor. That's A&R repertoire. That's the artist. Mm-hmm. That's ninth floor. That's what L.A. Reid. Nobody can go on that floor. And I was like, oh, shit, okay. So I just kept working, and I found that one of my dudes was like, oh, I'm delivering on the ninth floor. You always tell me you want to go. You want to go up there with me? I was like, hell yeah. So I went up to ninth floor. And I see Mark Pitts. I thought it was Puff. Mm-hmm. I was like, are you Puff Daddy? He's like, hell no. He's like, but that's my dude. I was like, yo, who are you? He's like, I'm Mark Pitts. I'm big.
Shout out to By Storm Mark Pitts.
You know it. So he kind of was like, he's like, where you at now? I was like, I'm in video. And I was like, can I work up here with you, please? I'll do anything. I'll sweep. I don't give a fuck. I'm just going to do something. And he was like, let me call down there. So he called down there, talked to Sam Lecker. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Sam Lecker. I heard her son died. Rest in peace. I'm so sorry to hear that. I interned for her first in the video department. So he pulled me up, and I just worked for every A&R upstairs. And one day we went in a meeting, and they was like, JD got to Arista, of course. And I was just an intern, and JD was like, I was going to meetings by then. Like, LA started letting me come into meetings and everything, him and Karen and Mark, and I just couldn't talk. They wouldn't let me talk. I just sit in the corner.
Just soaking it up.
So one day they was like, yo, we got... JD was like, yo, we got the Young Bloods. They feel like don't nobody like them, love them up here. Y'all from New York. Y'all don't really understand the sound in the South, and they want off the label. And it's like, he's like, unless somebody in here wants to, you know. And I was like, and Karen kind of hit my leg, like, ain't you from the South, don't you? And I was like, yes. I can talk. And she was like, say something. I was like, I'll do it, because I know all these songs. I know all these songs, 85.
Wow.
You know. Yeah, I was just telling them all the songs.
I've been on you for, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I was just telling them, you know, they on OutKast. I grew up on that, so I was just telling them what was up. And they was like, and JD was like, there we go. Memphis, you the A&R for the Youngbloods. And everybody was like, what the fuck? What? What? You're an intern. I was like.
And you cut
your nobody said nothing.
Like that.
I went from intern. I was still A&R intern. But
in what time frame? Like, what it from intern? Because a lot of young people watching, they probably like, oh, that nigga, he made it quick. I can do this.
No, I was probably from like, I was interning from like 20 to 2022, because I had got a job at Home Depot.
2000 to
2002. Okay. So it was like,
that was 2 years.
Yeah. It was pretty quick.
You cut your teeth.
But I was moving off of, something that I didn't even know I was moving off of. I was, my dad dying. I had this, all this shit on my mind. I wasn't even seeing people. I just was like, I got to win. I can't go back to Memphis. Like, because everybody's like, don't come here.
You had that drive,
up.
Man.
Yeah. So that's what happened. I went downstairs, and I hadn't even met the Youngbloods in person before. So I go downstairs, and all of them was getting in the van. Remember that cut? Y'all was getting in the van. I was like, look at all these niggas, man. Like, I'm like, I'm y'all new A&R.
Who was the first producer you called for that project?
First producer I called was...
Do you remember, or was the project not the... Was the project already done?
Well, the project was already coming together, and then I just kind of like jumped in there and I started listening to the songs. I had started kicking it with them. They wouldn't even let me in until I kicked it with them, and they started feeling like they even
fucked with me. You gotta have a person, right?
Yeah, so that's why I had to take a couple threats and stuff like that. I had to work through. One time I got told I couldn't come back to Atlanta.
You know, that's
Sean Paul told him I couldn't come to Atlanta one time. I was like, he's like, don't you even get on a plane? I'm like, what the fuck, man? J-Bo was like, man, don't listen to Shawty, man. He just be tripping. I'm like, bro.
They was roughing you up, man.
I'm like, what is going on?
Baptism through fire.
I know. Right? I was like, okay, well, there we go.
So, but I'm sure. I mean, not the threats per se.
But I love Sean Paul. Shout out to J-Bo, Youngbloods, Attic Crew, Good My everybody.
I'm sure how you cut your teeth made you a better A&R because you. I mean, and I said this at the beginning. As far as the A&R man, you at one point you was the hottest nigga in the game, or one of the hottest, if not the hottest. And in a 2 year span, for you to jump into a wind up being gold. Artists,
exactly.
And being A&R they project, man, I'm sure that had to be a great feeling.
It was, because I just feel like, I don't know if you remember this movie, Big, with Tom Hanks. I kind of used to think of it like that, because I left, and when I got to New York, I just was like, I cannot believe that y'all paying me to do something that I do with my friends, listen to music, and be like, yo, you heard this shit right here? Listen to this. This shit jumping. And I'm like, y'all gonna pay me for this?
Good money too, nigga.
I was like, oh, hell no. I was gone.
Were you overwhelmed?
I wasn't overwhelmed in the beginning because I had all this I just didn't give a fuck in the beginning. I just was like, I love this. Like, I love it. I love the people. I love the girls. I love the music. I love the situations. I can take these black cars everywhere I
want to
go.
I miss them days.
So I just felt like Tom got there, man. I was like, damn, this is.
Where was I?
Is this real? But I'm telling you now, I wasn't used to it. I ain't know what to do with all that.
It can, and I know from being in the industry for so many years, there are a lot of folks that.
Throw me in there.
I had my moments when I lived for the city per se as my, and you know, for somebody, a lot of us are first generation having bread and that type of money.
Oh yeah,
like we really made great money, and like you said, we had the corporate car, we was flying first class, if not private. So a lot of it can.
But you know what? I appreciate that I came from nothing, because if I ain't come from nothing, I probably didn't jump off a bridge. There's some shit that went on where a weak motherfucker.
They say you have to be strong to do that.
Industry. I mean, I come from broke, so you can't giving me money and then take it and spend it all.
Then take it back again.
Like, boy, I know how to eat ramen noodles. I know how to eat a hot dog. I know how to peanut butter and jelly
sandwich. Fry some bologna.
We gonna be good. I'm like, let me think of my next shit. I gotta think of something.
Now we go fast forward from Young Bloods to. Yo, technically, what you would say your first big sign?
That would be.
T-Pain.
Because T-Pain was bigger than Jaquan as far. Well, Tipsy was huge.
Who came first? Because Jaquan came through the source of death.
Jaquan came
with
first.
JD. But your, as far as something that you
that I signed on my own
was that T. Which now I.
Well, I definitely did not sign Young Bloods. Young Bloods was already the label.
Yeah.
Then my first official signing was Jaquan. Everybody the Click. Then we came with Everybody the Click.
How did that go? Did you put him on So Death?
Well, just because the success of Young Bloods being on So Death, and then they wasn't at the time they wasn't really saying that I did it. It was JD, and it was respect because I know but it was JD the first one that told me, yo, that damn shit you keep playing, that's a hit right there. And I was like a hit, what do you mean a hit? He's like, that shit gonna go, nigga. I was like, what?
Yeah.
So that was my first thing I worked on, but the first thing I signed because of the success of that was Jaquan. I was like, I asked LA, could I go to St. Louis, give me a ticket as this kid.
What was that feeling like, though? It had to be surreal, like JD telling you, like.
I went in the Southside. I went in the restroom. I was like doing a whole touchdown dance in the bathroom.
That's what's up.
Doing the running man.
I'm calling my mama, like, mama, I got a hit. I'm calling, I hit niggas. Yeah, I was like, oh my god.
That's what's up.
Oh shit.
Yeah, he said nigga phone. That's how Legendary Jerry showed it. We got phones.
Siri was trying to figure it out.
But
the first big one, I ain't gonna lie, was the game changer was T-Pain.
Yeah. Now, with the whole T-Pain, with T-Pain coming from Florida, how did that, I know, TJ Chapman from TJ's. Shout out to TJ Chapman.
TJ
now, was
DJs.
It a yeah?
Was, TJ be saying some real shit on Instagram. Tweety going off on TJ. Don't want to pay.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Yeah.
But with TJ, TJ brought T-Pain to you.
No, I was in Miami.
Okay.
Yeah, I went to Miami. I was working on Bone Crusher. I went from Young Bloods to Bone Crusher, Jaquan. That's all I had at the time. And then I went to Miami. He was doing something with Bone Crusher, and I'm walking past, and this dude's like, "Yo, ain't you Memphis?" And I was like, "Yeah." He's like, "I'm TJ. And I got something to play you." And I asked about you and stuff, and people was like, "You play it for anybody, play it for him, he'll get it."
Yeah.
So I was like, "All right, I'll take it."
And that's good because you had a fucking ear. I'm not saying you don't
know. No. I just kind
of got a lot of these niggas can't hit thunder, bro.
Yeah, I know.
These A&Rs can't hit because thundering outside. They hear that fucked up.
I can agree with you with that.
Or they leave with their eyes or whatever, what's going on already.
Research has it. But nigga, don't get me started. Don't get me started, but go ahead.
Yeah, so I kind of forgot what I was talking about.
You was talking about being in Miami.
T-Pain. Oh, yeah. So TJ gave me the CD. I get in the car, and I'm listening to all these CDs, and I'm throwing them out the window. And I'm just like, that ain't nope. And then I put in, I hear I'm Sprung. And I was like, what the fuck? I was like, play that one more time. And he played it again. I was like, who gave me that? Let me see that CD. Let me look at the number on it or whatever. And I looked at it, and it was like called TJ.
Teddy Pender. Was it? Not Pender. It was
Teddy Pender Ass Down.
Yeah, Pender Ass. Yeah. I remember. Yeah. Because it's crazy.
I mean, T-Pain just got a phone.
That's crazy. And I told TJ this. That was one of my misses. TJ sent me to my house. T-Pain CDs. And
Teddy Pender Ass Down.
And I was like, yeah, it's cool. But I didn't, and TJ was like, yo, man, let's, you know, I know you connected, you know, put certain buttons. And, you know, I can say this as a man, as an industry guy, I dropped the ball because I ain't.
But that's so dope. But that's so dope. I done dropped balls too, though. But yeah, but that's so dope how, like, you heard it and passed up on it, but you heard a hit.
And I cannot even pass. I didn't have, you know, I could have made calls. Me and TJ could have partnered or whatever. Yeah. That situation could have wound up being.
Yeah.
But it just goes to show you how everything in life works how it's supposed to.
And yeah, exactly.
Did y'all know each other back then? Or?
I think we met after that.
We met after that.
Okay. Yeah, after that, yeah. So it was like. After he started, Akon, I found out Akon was involved. I went to see a T-Pain show, like him and the Nappy Heads, and I was like, which one is, when I walked right past, I went to his house, and he's like, who are you here to see? I was like, I'm looking for T-Pain, and he was outside smoking a cigarette, and all I had ever heard was the song.
Yeah.
So I'm walking past, and he's like, I'm like, I'm looking for T-Pain. He's like, I'm T-Pain. And I was like, what? No. No, you ain't. He's like, who are you? I was like, I'm Mickey from the label Memphis, the A&R. He's like, get the fuck out of here. He's like, you look like a light skinned ass Nelly. What the fuck? Ain't no way you know A&R.
Dark
like,
skinned Nelly.
So we both looking at each other.
You ain't
like,
red.
You ain't who you saying you is. And
right, Jack, like, this nigga ain't red. Yeah, so this nigga like, said light skinned. I don't know what the
I'm like, what the heck? I'm like, that ain't you, bro. I'm like, sing it right now then. He's like, bro, I'm telling you, this is me. So we go in the house and we get on the computer. And he's like, I just use this auto tune thing to keep my vocals, but I'm going to take that off of there. I was like, you going to take that off of there? I'm like, no, we don't take that off of that. That's why I'm here right now.
So you went back to job, and when you played that shit.
First, well, Akon called me and said, Memph, I'm going to go with you.
Which I know that helped. That, like, that helped a lot.
Yeah, he's like, I'm going to go with you because don't sign him to job yet because I'm signing him to Kundit. So I was like, well, I ain't really got no label or nothing like that. So
yeah.
I just was like, all right. So when Akon told me he signed him to Kundit, he's like, all right, I'm coming. Let's go and do the meeting. I set the meeting up, and Payne was in the he was nervous as hell. Dancing, sweating. Singing, sweating. I was sweating too. God, I'm like, I don't know.
Was this during the Clive Carter job days? I'm trying.
That's after Clive Carter. This is Barry White. This okay, is Barry, Barry, Peter, okay. Mark, everybody. You know, okay. So Payne was performing in the conference room, and everybody was like, I don't know. I was like, y'all what?
And does anybody know? If you know anything about the industry, you know you're only as hot as your latest or last signing. And and I know once you brought that to the building. You was hot then a month.
That's when I just was. I didn't have. It I was mean, no you, rules
you
on
took
me.
Off, man. Professionally, I was like, that, but I think that's what.
Is that when you started painting the offices green?
Yeah, I started painting the offices, bringing stuff in the office that I got. Just you don't do that. They like we already got office furniture. I'm like none of that. Take it out. But LA started it. He was like, nobody say nothing to Memphis. He can do what he want to do as long as he bringing these hits in here.
As long as I'm bringing hits in here,
nobody talk to me. Oh wow, standing on desks. Knocking niggas' papers off their desk and shit like, I said now!
Holding your cup, standing in the cup and holding your dick. What's up, nigga?
Hey, like, what?
You, and when you hot, you
LA
hot.
Said,
when you hot, you hot. There you go. Yeah. When you got the juice.
But that was bad. It was bad. You mean looking now?
Looking back at it, hindsight.
I didn't know how they was talking about me.
Like,
I didn't know I was first on the list if anything happened. Your ass is out of here.
Years go by.
I'm winning. Then you get that little break. And that's when, by the time I had got to K. Michelle, Huey Way had already blew up.
So you signed. Let's.
Yeah.
Jamie and Kate Michelle. That name keeps.
Right. That name keeps.
She was signed to you. Okay. Let's back up just a little bit.
Okay.
So of course after, as anybody when you get hot, the first thing the label gonna do is say you need a label. You need a imprint or production company, whatever.
Okay.
So they offered you one. You said cool.
Well, I ain't gonna lie to you. I asked him that's why I picked Jive, because when I first was going to a different label in Arista, when Arista failed, I had all these choices, and I was going to all these meetings. LA set me up to go to all these different meetings. Mm-hmm. And Jive, I said, so they was like, here, we kind of see how you move. They was like, here, if you keep on doing what you was doing at Arista,
just keep.
You could get a label here. Like, a lot of these artists in here are independent, like UGK and stuff, they were independent, and you pick them up. So if you prove that you can keep going, you get a label. So after T-Pain, I was like, all right. That's two.
So
he's like, all right, you get a label. What you want to call
Kwan.
It?
You had Jaquan and then had T-Pain.
Yep, Jaquan, T-Pain, then Huey was my first on my label. And
so,
then,
but yeah, you just so you created, you had the deal for Hits Committee.
Yep.
And then who was on your roster? You had
Huey, Asia Cruz,
K-Michelle.
I had this dude named Dirty Party Boys.
Flex, so out of all the artists you made, Huey had a hot record that popped.
Hot Lock and Drop It, yeah.
What happened to the mother? Like, if you could, like, what? And I'm not being funny, but.
Yeah. You know what it was?
What happened?
I was, all in the name of my company, it was like Hits Committee. And what LA said to me, as long as Memphis is bringing hits in here, don't talk to them. So at the time, I wasn't really, into the artistry. I was just like, I hear a hot ass song. I know it's gonna work. I'm seeing my daughter dance to it. All these little kids. I'm like, wait, every time I play this record, these little kids get going. I'm like, okay. So I just was bringing hits. Artists with hits.
Because Huey had a hit, but none of them other artists, they ain't had.
Asia Cruz had the record called Selfish. Trady had Gutter Chick, Gutter, you know, whatever. And I just was kind of like, if I liked it, or if people I fucked with liked it, I would sign it.
When did that relationship come to an end with Hits Committee and Jai? Is it when?
That's when I got hired at BET to do the deal. Stephen Hill asked me if I ever wanted
when
to be
on, was hosting talk Rap
about
City?
Being on TV. Well, it was the follow-up for Rap City. The deal. So that was
during
Hits
Committee.
People
don't know that you, I mean, that's why this motherfucker was red hot, fire hot. You had the label, you had all this, you had.
Too much. I was, bro.
Too much thinking
it was too much.
Like a fucking circus.
I remember talking to you, you was like, yeah, because wasn't BET trying to expand your role or like something? Were they offering it? Because I remember talking to you and you like, yo, Big Jerry, you know, they was high on you, bro, because you had the personality, you had the swagger.
But I also brought that attitude from Jive.
That entitled me shit like shit.
Yeah,
I'm making
$500,000 a year.
That was at Jive. That ain't counting the other shit.
I'm in Atlanta driving Maserati, Hummer, pulling up at Wendy's. They like, what the fuck? Why would you be at Wendy's? I'm like, bro, because I don't.
At the big house, I can't find that for the home. I thought I had a.
This
I thought
is a
I had
toy,
a
nigga. I don't
you
even
had
supposed
to
have
this. Mansion. I thought I had a mansion. You had the fucking mansion.
That was a dirty ass, filthy house by the time I left.
Bugs in here. Look at that. You see, that's how we doing this. I keep bugs, nigga.
Yeah. No, it's all
you know
good.
Hey, but man. Anyway, but no. But go ahead, James.
So I was just gonna say, you said it was too much. So is there something you would tell your younger self now that
I would? Don't take all these jobs at the same time. Like, let it be chill. Like I'm A&R. I'm a vice president of Jive. I'm the CEO of Hits Committee. I'm the host of the deal on BET. I'm doing all this stuff, and I'm not realizing. Now my artist looking at me like, hello?
I'm over here.
Yeah, I was like,
so you weren't
even
paying them attention.
I couldn't.
Yeah.
Because you had your job. And
then I'm just signing artists, and all of them want to go. They like, yo, nigga, what the hell are you doing? You on TV? What the fuck? They're like, are you an A&R? What's going on?
Yeah.
And I was like, man, this is too much.
Now,
man.
I remember from being in the industry that there was some little controversy with you. You leaving or firing? However, y'all parted ways.
How did I leave job? I got fired.
Job
was already gone, and then it was RCA. But when Barry left, that was like my last protective.
And they said,
and I was like, oh
they
shit.
They said this nigga doing.
And then they started looking at the roster. They was like, they was trying to cut budgets, and they was looking at the roster. And they was like, $500,000 a year. Who the fuck is this? And they was like, oh, that's Memph. They was like, what? T-Pain, he's like, oh, okay. He's like, they're like, what else? What he done lately, though?
Yeah, as hot as your latest.
Boy, when they saw that 500, I knew I was out of there. They was like, we couldn't.
I remember right after it happened.
If you couldn't budget, that means.
You seem to still be in a good place right after it happened when I'm talking to you. But afterwards, and we talked about this recently, do you feel as though it was a blackball situation where the industry tried to blackball you?
Nah. I think.
Do you think that came later when it came Michelle, when the allegations with K. Michelle? Do you think then the industry tried to blackball you?
I don't even think they blackballed me. I just think girls was disappointed in me of something they thought that I did that I didn't do. And I didn't want... Well, first Mona invited me to come to the show and defend myself. She's like, yo, K... Because I introduced Mona and K. Michelle. I introduced them because I put Missy on one of K. Michelle's first records. Gucci Mane, Keisha Cole, all this stuff. I was... Katrina, I mean. Doing all these records and... Mona was like, yo, I started this new show, blah, blah, blah. She was like, I got K. Michelle on there, and this is right when I got married. She was like, she said some crazy stuff to me that happened. I was like, what she said happened? I was like, girl, that girl lying. I was like, Mona, I'm about to send you, I'm about to have my attorneys call you and do a, you know, cease and desist. So I was like, all right. Because I didn't do that. I ain't never hit no girl before. Like, in her, like, hell no. So I was like, no, you don't do that. And she thought I was going to be able to come on the show, and I thought I was too, but then Toya was like, I'm not going on that ratchet ass show. And I was like, what? I'm like, this girl just said I hit her. You know what that means? That's almost the same as these three things. Like,
yeah,
you might as well.
I
got to go say something. I'm like, you know what's going to happen to me? I'm like, you going to take care of me when I get...
That's part of your character. I mean,
yeah,
especially
like,
you know, somebody, something you didn't do,
exactly,
and you have to wear that.
So I didn't know what to do.
That's serious allegation.
Exactly,
yeah.
I didn't know what to do. So she was like, "Okay, if you go on that show, when you come home, you might as well just put that ring. I'm gonna have this ring. That ring you gave me gonna be right there." And I was like, "So I called Mona. I was like, I can't come on the show." And she's like, "Why not?" She's like, "Tell Toya she can come too." And I was like, "I did." She's like, I'm not going on no ratchet ass show like that. She's like, all they gonna do is get you on there and try to have her throw something on you. And then I'm like, I'm not gonna hit her. You know I don't hit girls. I'm like, I don't care what she throw on me. I ain't gonna do nothing to her. I might be like, yo, that's when you jump in. Go get her. She'll slap your husband.
I'm gonna go back to us saying like you was hot, nigga. You was that A&R where everybody checked for all the big wigs.
I didn't see that coming.
So what I'm saying is, for you to, you know, even after the separation from Jive, fire, mm-hmm. whatever, no labels was calling me because, bro, you.
Well,
you
I would go into labels. I'm telling you, I got disgusted. But I would go into interviews at different labels, and I'm sitting there talking about trying to get the job, and I'm moved on from RCA, and they was like,
so did you get that girl for real?
Who?
In the middle of my meetings, I'm like, I'm trying to get a job. They're like, this is that girl for real?
Really?
And I'd be like, bro, meeting over, I'm leaving.
Wow, so you see how that followed you? Like, that's crazy.
It was following me everywhere I went. I was like, oh my God, this girl, really? So that's when Toy was like, you need to sue. And I was like, so if I sue, that means I'm going to lose my BET stuff because that's Viacom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm suing Mona and Love and Hip Hop, that's VH1, still Viacom. I've got a show on Viacom. Like, what the? And I'm like, yo, I don't know if you understand what you asking, telling me. All I gotta do is go on that show, and people gonna clearly see.
And you just used to be Memphis, Picture, you got the Huey, the J-Pop, yeah. And now you gotta go through this shit? You
like, hold on. But then you did go through with it. You ended up suing, right?
I did, yeah. But it was like, I couldn't, how long am I box with Viacom?
Yeah.
Stupid again.
Yeah.
I'm like, you ain't got enough money to be boxing with them folks.
Yeah.
When did you, and I know my moment when I hit rock bottom, when did you hit rock bottom?
Probably when I started doing coke in L.A. I was just hanging with all these crazy white girls. And
were you depressed? Because I went through it, you know, when I...
I didn't know I was depressed. I was like, fuck everybody.
That's what I didn't know. Yeah. Like, I was going through my shit.
I cannot believe niggas to let this shit slide. Like,
yeah.
Where is the proof? Like, give
you
me something.
You like, I'm Memphis, nigga. You don't know who I am.
I wasn't even on that. I was just like,
no, I'm just saying.
Y'all
don't
let
this
girl
that,
say,
like,
I hit her, and y'all know I don't. What other girl never said I hit her? Because
they
just started hitting girls today.
And I, you know, we went a few years without talking. And once we reconnected, you know, that was one of the first conversations where I was just like, yo, man, like, you know, because I know what it's like to, you know, not as big, but. You know, when I saw my name being dragged through the media for my bribery case when I went to Blue Fed time, your shit was just all over. And then when they put that stamp on you, like, my shit is convicted vetter. Your shit is a one bit, and that shit is...
Exactly.
That shit,
I have to walk around and just be myself. And then, like, I met these girls in Texas, and we was in the gas station. They walked up and like, yo, you look like Memphis Hits. And I was like, all right. So I just keep on. When people do that, like, right. if you keep going and you figure it out, then I'm gonna admit it that okay, that's me. But if you be like, I'm gonna just let you keep on.
Yeah.
So it's like,
to be as accomplished
like,
as you are.
Yeah.
In
then
industry.
So what they said to me was like, ain't you the one to hit K Michelle? I was like,
ooh.
I was like, nah. I was like, I know that's what. That's... I was like, blah 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 blah. And they was like, you don't seem like you hit girls though. I was like, yeah. I was like, y'all wanna go out with me tonight? And they was like, we gonna go out with you. So they met me at this club, and by the end of the night, they was like. That bitch lying. And I was like, hello. I gotta do that all the time.
I know this has nothing to do with music. Where do you think that stemmed from? Like, why would she pass these rumors around? Like, what'd you do to her? What'd you do to that broad? Come on.
We know you fucking not the
butt. Well, we had a cool relationship at first, but then, like I said, I used to be watching Tiny and Toya, because me and Toya met in L.A. at a party, and we had started being friends, but at the time, I was with K. Michelle,
gotcha.
Like, boyfriend, girlfriend type shit, so it was like a relationship, so.
So it was a jealousy.
When I got home, Toya was like, oh, I got this show coming out, me and Tiny,
right.
And it's, you know, it's called Tiny Toy. We got this show. I was like, I got a show too. I just started the show at BET too. So we both on BET. I got a show called The Deal. But on my show, I'm a character. Memphis Hits is somebody I made up.
Right.
On her show, she's doing reality.
Right.
So that's how we kind of met. And I was watching Tiny and Toy and K. Michelle. She'd be like, why are you watching that female show like that? I was like, this show is good. She's like, you know one of them? I was like, no, I don't know them. I'm like, well, whatever. It ain't like that. And then. Later on, me and Toy started talking. I was like, yo, I'm with this crazy girl. K. Michelle took me through some things. And I was like, I'm with this crazy girl. Keep messing up my reputation with people, cursing people out. And she's like, oh, I'm with this dude. I don't mess with either. I was like, well, we should just be friends. But my boy was like, nigga, you got a million girls you can talk to. You gonna talk to that one? You know who that is? And I was like, nope. And he was like, nigga, that's Wayne's ex-wife. You need to walk away now. And I was like, why? I was like, I didn't grow up. We cool.
Right, but that's not my homeboy. Yeah. Like, I was like,
I don't know. Did you foresee the fallout being is? Did you see it being like it wound up being?
With I didn't see none of that. Hell no.
You didn't see it.
I even went to, me and Wayne cool as hell. I'm talking
the fallout from all the rumors of
I ain't see that coming. Nobody would saw that coming. I just one day I looking at my phone, it used to be all about people trying to get their music to me, and then I was on my hunt, I was on my anniversary. I took my wife to my ex wife, took my ex wife to Paris, and we was in Paris, and then my phone and the show came on. And then all of a sudden I just saw my phone change, and it was like, you son of a bitch, you hit that girl, you choked, you hit her, and I was like, what? And I'm looking at my phone, I'm like, look at my phone. I'm showing Tori my phone, look at my phone. She's like, whoa. I was like, that shit must have came on. She did that shit for real? So we sitting up there like, I'm calling Mona from Paris. Like, I know y'all didn't even let that girl do that, did you? I'm like, my Twitter is looking real nasty right now. I'm like, girl, somebody like, you hit that girl, fuck you. I'm like, whoa. So I had to wait till we got all the way back home. And then all
and
the
this on your had to go get an now?
Attorney. Yeah.
Man, that ain't cool.
Wow.
I'm looking at my Twitter like, I couldn't even sleep. I'm like, fuck you. I'm like, whoa.
But man, if I remember even when you hit me during that time, you had, I ain't going to name the artist. I don't even remember first. It was a little young kid.
Key.
Yeah.
Swag, what up?
And then you had a show. I don't know if you could mention it or not. The idea, the concept. So you were still rocking and rolling, even though that shit, like you had Key. Was that the little young
kid? Oh, I did Mistresses of Atlanta.
What happened with that, bro? Like, I thought he had a show that was called Mistresses of Atlanta. Yeah. I remember when you called me, you was like, Jerry, we sat in the van over, on coming to have Memorial Drive, we was on the east side. You said, yo, I got this show, it's about to change the face of the shit. We had just met Key.
Exactly.
Two mamas.
We
just met both of his moms. And you was just telling me, like, so you were still right, even with all that shit, that fallout from that shit.
I was still trying to figure it out.
What happened, like, with the stuff you had your hands on, the artists we just named, and the show, like, it just, what happened? It just went away.
The artist side, I got disgusted because when I was getting the TV show thing going, Oxygen came down, the Weinsteins was like, yo, did you touch them likes? Because we looking at these likes on, because I just put it on YouTube. And he's like, this thing got like 2 million
the likes. From likes, like, Mistresses of Atlanta.
And I was like, oh shit, I'm gonna do TV instead. I'm just make shows. So I go to all these meetings, they messing with me. They got signed to the Weinstein Group. Oxygen came and filmed the show. And then all of a sudden, when they was trying to sell it, they was like, yo, ain't that the Memph Hits guy? And they was like,
This is a woman's network.
So
it keeps coming.
It's a woman's network. That's and crazy. Our people that are doing the show don't want to deal with until you get cleared that you didn't do that. They don't want to go forward, even as good as this show is. So they don't want to go forward with somebody that's been.
So then you and Toya ended up on
Marriage Boot Camp.
Right.
Marriage Boot Camp. Yeah.
Right.
That's what.
So
is that you? Was that a mistake getting on some of that? Y'all and fix my lives. And
yeah,
I would say getting married on TV was fucked up. I shouldn't.
Oh, done I ain't. You got married on TV?
Yeah, I shouldn't have done that. And divorced.
Damn. Guess what, my nigga? You here, man? Yeah. You still in good spirits, man? And I remember when we just talked last year. You didn't even know I had the affair time.
I didn't talk to you. Like,
but you were still the same Memphis man. And after knowing everything that he'd been through, it was just like. You know, I was like, bro, just to see you on Instagram, whatever, still smiling, still, even though that could be a facade, but seeing you and still feeling that energy and spirit, man, that's good shit.
Well,
man,
even walking in here, the energy and the spirit was great, and just hearing your story now is just like, wow, it's unbelievable. You know, a lot of people can't do that. You know, they hit rock bottom.
Industry, Jamie, it beat you down.
Yeah, as much as I feel like money don't make. This is how I am. I love money, but I don't give a fuck about money at the same time. So money, I get it, and I'll be like, I get it again.
Right.
You know, but I ain't like that now.
Is that because you were making $500,000?
Yeah, and I just ain't never. I wasn't raised like that. Money, little small things make me happy. Being around water and trees, being around good people, being around my friends, like little stuff like that is what. Money is like something.
Well, it shows. Yeah. It shows, man.
Let me make all my friends.
What's happy your? I'm gonna name a couple people. Mm-hmm. You just tell me what your relationship is with them now. You mentioned earlier you know, how JD said that Damn was a hit record. Do y'all talk?
Yeah, me and JD kicked it in LA one time. I saw him in the club, and we just kicked it from there on. So just kicking it, but you know, just in and out, you know, because when I was an intern, like I said, when I JD want to put me on, so I got about
what about
JD.
LA Reid?
About LA Reid, he put me on. And these people that put me on, and like Mark Pitts, Darrell Jones. Even Ty V, I don't know if you remember her.
Yeah, I know Ty V. Yeah. Shout out to Ty V. What's up, Joey Ty V? Black girl,
they all
Ty
just kind of like, I used to move so hard, work so hard for them. It was just a respect that I got. It was like, let them do it.
What's your relationship now with T-Pain?
Oh, we good. We kind of stopped talking for a minute after a lot of stuff was going on, but we just talked on the phone the other day. I hit him on put on Instagram. I was like, what happens if these two people get back in the studio? And he hit me. I was like, where you at? I called him. I was like, people just hear that I was in a fucked up place for a minute, but they can hear it now that I'm like, man, you sound like the old you. I was like,
So is it safe to say that this Memphis now is ready to get back in the studio and ready to turn some shit up?
You know what?
Or are you, where are we?
I mean, I've been producing. I've just been doing stuff to kind of like my chi. I've just been trying to I'm writing a book. I've been talking to Tony Gaskins. Book, my trip to New York.
Okay.
It's kind of like my past, present, future of me going to New York. What made me go to New York, what happened to me, how my life changed when I got to New York, how I fell in New York, and now what I'm doing now. So
you got a I thought I had a testimony, brother. You got a testimony.
That's what I'm going to talk about all in the book. And he's like, yo, if you know, first book, you give them what they want, then you officially a new author. Because now, I was like, 6 months, I'll be doing fiction books. I like to look at stuff. When I look at plaques and stuff on my wall, it ain't like, oh, I got to get back there. It's like, I used to be an A&R at Jive Records at Arista. I'm gone. Now I want to be a book writer. I want to be
a
artist.
Label called you right now. You want?
I ain't gonna say I wouldn't go.
Oh, okay, I'm about to say.
I'm just saying I ain't. I went to New York. I was in the label. I was in my boys having meetings. I'm just in the chair. Like they like Myth.
You still got that?
Like you got a group.
But you still got that ear?
Naturally. I'm if I hear something I like, that's what it is. I don't know how to be like.
Who are you listening to now?
I love Kendrick. You know, I opened the cameras up for Kendrick one time. I was in L.A. doing a deal, and Kendrick walked up on me. I didn't know he had a hoodie on. He was like, yo, let me rap. Let me bust a rap right quick. I was like, whoa. I was like, we done. He was like, come on, bro. I was like, y'all cut the cameras back on. Just spit. So we got a relationship. When Kendrick see me, it's love. He remember that. I love real niggas. Like, when they see me and they remember some shit, I'll be like, oh, that was real. Like, so every time he see me, it'd be immediate love. So shout out to him, TDE. Like, you know, I just love
real niggas. What's on your radio right now, in your car? Bruno Mars, in your car right now?
My car in Dallas right now, but I said, Bruno Mars.
in a car.
I love Thug. I love Teddy Pendergrass. I love Marvin Gaye. I still listen to music.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like I went through some eras of music, and I still listen to, sometimes I still pop up Outkast in, Youngblood. Right. I'd be hearing everything. I just still listen to music. So I ain't got no certain
kind
of music.
What do you think about
Michael
these,
Jackson, Prince, whatever. Yeah. Yeah.
This is your favorite one. Young cats that are out right now.
Yeah, who? You fucking with a lot of these young niggas out here?
I fuck with what people fuck
with.
YFNs, Migos, 21 Savage.
I would say they all kind of sound a little bit the same sometimes.
Would you have signed any of them?
If I was fresh in the game right now.
If you was in the game right now, out of the young,
if I went to a club.
The ones who are relevant now. From Tekashi to all them, out of all the young cats, the new generation, new age, who would you sign?
I would sign Uzi.
Interesting.
That's hard to say now because it's almost like, how you gonna say that after he won already?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That is now the thing about it.
I feel like that's how niggas move. They're trying to see what's winning.
Exactly. But the thing is, what you just said is you fuck with his music. Though.
I do. He makes songs. Stuff he thinking about, like, I don't really care if you die, I don't care if you cry, it's like songs that got, if they got any substance, I'm cool, but sometimes the song ain't gotta have no substance for me, because I'm lit and I just want to jump. So it just depends on what mood.
That's why I say if I go to
a club right now, and I go to a young club, because I be ducked off in some young clubs just in the back, like Batman or some shit like that.
I hope they were 21.
Yeah,
that nigga said, "I'm fucking." He said, "First you got me here, then you got me fucking a young chick."
No, I just be in the back listening. I'm a people watcher. So if I go in the club right now and I see a bunch of young people just get the jumping all of a sudden on a song, I'm gonna be asking the DJ, "What's that?"
Right.
What's your Do you still have a relationship with him? And if so, have you hollered at
him? With Robert?
Yeah, with Rob.
I used to have a relationship with him when we used to be...
Right, yeah, it was under the same label.
Like, the Maybach with him sometimes. Took me to his parties. Like, my first time, he didn't know I was such a fan of his either. So, And one time I brought this girl to his house. We went to Terrell Owens' house. I brought this girl to his house.
The one he wound up buying.
This nigga was going to sing out loud and shit. My girl was over there. Shit, I wasn't even in that bitch like... That nigga sound like
that. How old was she? I ain't being funny, but how old was she?
No, she was about 19, 20, 21. That nigga got to singing. I looked around. I'm like, that bitch was gone.
So with all this shit, I mean, never take him to bring this coming down on
but
him.
I get it. But that's who. Hey, man, I'm like, y'all need to leave our nasty guys alone because a lot of y'all wouldn't even be here if it weren't for R. Kelly. A lot of y'all wouldn't be here if it weren't for a lot of these guys.
But come on, man.
I ain't saying fuck young girls.
Oh, there's one thing to make
but music, I'm just saying,
making love music, but it's another thing.
I'm just
but
saying.
I'm not here to judge nobody. Got my own
women. I feel like women have their own personal choice. Of course, of age. They have their own personal choice of what they want to do or where they are, or where they want to be.
Of age.
Yeah. I ain't condoning none of that. Yeah, I'm just saying. Yeah. People, I feel like people just hate that he, you know, of course he, that's, if that, because I don't like to say nobody did something, because I know alleged is, I ain't getting into all that, but it's none of my business, first of all, right. But if that's how people feel, like, people judge people.
Now,
I was going to say, so besides your book now, what else are you working on?
I got a new app that's being developed right now, it's going to be out in a couple weeks, it's called My Warrant app.
Okay.
So basically, it's like an app that lets you know if I'm traveling to LA, I'll be like, hit LA. I can manually hit it, or it just lets me know about when I walk in a different location. Like, you have no warrants in Los Angeles. You have a warrant in Texas.
Interesting.
Pay now.
And that's from your
right
personal
now.
Experience.
Yes. I done seen grandmas get pulled out the car. Like, it's too late when you got your license.
And people don't think when they say warrant, all of a sudden you're... Our minds think like, oh, drugs or this. No, it could be a suspended license.
Yeah. So
tickets. Exactly. Yeah, right.
And what we doing with the app is cutting out the just kind of like getting you a little step ahead of the police. Like if I know I'm dirty before I go outside, at least I know how to ride.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Or if I get an alert that say, yo, this ticket you got in Texas in two weeks turns into a bench warrant.
Right.
Remind me today. Remind me in an hour. Right. Remind me next week.
Right.
I can hit that and like pay now,
right.
And you ain't gotta go through none of that.
Okay. That's
pretty
dope.
You pay a subscription.
So you're doing a lot of non-music shit then.
I'm just trying. This is what I learned first time. I will never let music be my only bitch ever again. Hmm. When she was, I thought I was like, oh, she loved me. She loved me. She loved me.
Yeah.
She loved me.
But we all had that one bitch that we thought loved us.
Oh my god!
To Magic City Onyx.
Oh my god!
We all had that. So would that be your advice to somebody you know now, like the younger generation? You know, people that look up to. Is that your advice?
Like, I would always say, don't. Please, like I don't think I used to listen with my like just have a foundation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like okay, like because music. You hot today and tomorrow it might be like,
oh yeah,
like what? Now they'll be in the club going to your music, but at the same time the newer, like it's hard to get back with the newer generation because they kind of like, oh, it's the moved on,
right.
Or you just kind of like you get into other situations. It's still entertainment, but you're doing other things now.
Yeah.
So before we get out of here, I gotta ask you an off the wall question because some things has been going on recently.
All right.
With of course you're up on some of the stuff that Kanye has tweeted and said. In a way, in a weird, different way, not weird, but in a different way, can you, like, with him moving to L.A., where he's been there for years or whatever, and getting caught up in whatever it is, and I ain't gonna say caught up, but can you relate to how, you said you hit rock bottom. I'm not saying Kanye is at rock bottom, but from
mentally,
it seems, I don't know, I haven't sat down with the brother, so I don't know.
I mean, talking about myself. Like,
in a way, can you relate to him in a way like, man, this brother needs to, pull himself out of it, or how, what's your thoughts on that? Because you said you hit rock bottom when you got to L.A., and we know L.A. is a whole different beast. People think Atlanta
I wouldn't even say I hit rock, I'm talking about stuff that I usually wasn't doing. I started doing it when I got to LA, the way they live, it's party, I'd be in my bed sleeping, my mother would be like, putting drugs in my face, like, get up, man, get up, it's party downstairs. I'm like, again?
So with the shit that he's going through,
damn.
Can you,
Yeah, this is what I feel like, in a nutshell. Kanye lost the only family, real family he had, his mom.
Yeah.
He dealing with that. Yes, he's with his wife. That's almost like, sometimes your wife has almost got a little mom in her.
A lot of times they say we're married.
That's his family now. So it's like, but I'm sure he thinks like his only family he really know is gone. His mom never got to meet his kids. I feel like they were my dad. So it's like you already messed up. I can't take no more blows. And then all of a sudden, okay, you get this love. Like, okay, music love me, but it's fake love. You don't really know it's fake. It ain't real yet.
It's fake love.
So you done fell back in love with music. And then music drop you on your ass. And we don't like you no more. And you like, huh? What? Now you're going through, you're mentally going through shit. Now you're still a music dude that they know, and you're still a genius on the inside. But now you got to switch gears. You got to call Audible. Like, they ain't going to let me back in through this door. I gotta go back down, find a new door, and I'm gonna come up out that bitch. And by the time they figure out I can't,
great
it's
analogy,
too late,
bro.
I'm running for president. I know if it's between me and Trump, when his years are over, they gonna pick me over him.
Yeah.
So okay, he ain't gonna let. If certain people can't, you ain't just about to go talk to Trump. I don't like Trump either, but I'm just saying that nigga won. Okay, so if nobody like him so much, how the fuck he win? You know why? Cause niggas went in that booth and saw Trump or Hillary, and they said, who do I like? Even if they don't know the views, they like, I just don't like her like that. Boom, this dude, he just say anything, I like him. But if it was Kanye and Trump, who you gonna hit? So I think Kanye knows that he already ahead of the game, down a couple years down the road, he's like, I'm gonna start setting it up right now. First I'm gonna say I like, that's my friend.
That nigga Kanye ain't running for no fucking president.
Don't ever say never.
Hey. I have to say that shit. Yeah,
and you see, like, we glad, man.
Yeah, so,
we glad we had Memphis.
I think
this was a great.
This is great.
Yes, thank you.
We hadn't seen each other in person in a while, but like I said at the beginning, he's still Mem. He's still Mickey. He's still no matter what you done read, allegation, whatever. This is a good nigga.
Yes, sir.
And I just want to see you be successful, nigga.
Man, I appreciate
you,
man.
And I appreciate you coming to the show.
Man, I'm the same way. I love to see my folks winning, man.
Yeah.
Like, I just, my boys out there, they doing video. To see Cudi, like, everybody, ain't nobody stopped moving because I've been gone.
We still moving, bro.
I come back, everybody moving still. I'm like, I'm getting the energy
back,
from that.
You'll
I'm
be
like,
back
whoa,
in Atlanta,
whoa,
man.
We're
going
to
welcome you back. And we, hey, man, you know, we, one thing about people like us, man, we're resilient. We bounce back.
I got to ask Cudi if I get my Atlanta pass back.
So before we get out of here, though, why don't you tell the folks, you know, your handle on Instagram, Twitter.
Instagram, website, Twitter, at The Real Myth Hits, MemphitZ. Check out, get ready for my book, My Trip to New York. I'm going to be talking about a lot of things in there that, you know, I might have sugar-coated here now. Usually too much sugar-coated.
It's going to be on the bestseller list.
Yes, it is. Shout out to Tony Gaskins for helping me out with that. My app, my Warren app, y'all be looking for that because I know you need it. Your grandmama needs it. Nigga. She will
the real Memph Hits. That make sure you spell it right. With a Z. ITZ. Memph Hits.
Yes.
Yeah. Jamie Page.
Yes.
Hey, Jamie.
Miss Jamie Page on Instagram.
Nice.
And I, of course, I'm Big Jerry Clark.
Hey.
And please make sure you go on YouTube, subscribe to the Legendary Jerry podcast, please.
You don't want
to
Legendary.
Oh, excuse me. Damn.
You sleeping?
I was belching, my nigga.
You're about to take a nap.
Anyway, Instagram Legendary Jerry Podcast, Big Jerry Clark. And of course, y'all know, before I get out of here, I dedicate the show to two people. This week, I'm going to dedicate it to three people. Of course, to the late, great Mr. Shakir Stewart. Also to my father. Mr. Thomas Clark, he passed in 2016. Y'all know I say that at the end of every show. And to his father, I don't know his
Mickey
name.
Wright
I never
Senior.
Met him.
I'm a junior, man.
Mickey Wright Sr.
Yes, sir.
He was killed back in 2000. So this week, we dedicating the show to those three folks. Great men who they all left a legacy. This is Legendary Jerry Podcast for Jamie Page, for Memph Hits.
And
I'm Big Jerry Clark. And my homeboy Cudi, who will go give Memph his pass back.
Hey,
we are out of here.
Out.
Don't look at me, look at yourself.